Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, we so wrestle with worry in our lives and struggle to hand it over to you. And so, Lord, we ask that you will bless us in this time as we search our hearts, as we listen to your word, as you use us, that we may open our hearts and be able to trust you fully, to be able to let go, to allow you to handle it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata ain't no passing craze. It means no worries for the rest of your days. It's our problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata. Anyone know what that's from? The Lion King, that's right. Or perhaps maybe you remember that 1980s song by Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Because when you worry, your face will frown and that will bring everybody down. Don't worry, be happy. Or maybe from the movie Frozen, you know, let it go, let it go. You know, in Matthew 6, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount also tells us to not worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Jesus told his people to look to the birds of the air and consider the lilies of the field and adopting a worry-free attitude toward life. This is what Jesus taught, as simple as don't worry, be happy, or Hakuna Matata, no worries. Here Jesus tells us not to worry. But what he taught has a lot more depth to it than just a carefree attitude disconnected from the real messiness of life. And when Jesus tells us not to worry, he isn't advocating we go through life with a denial that fails to recognize that the real problems exist in our world. It's not our problem-free philosophy. Or when Jesus tells us not to worry, is he concerned with spoiling the party for everyone else and bringing everybody down? Instead, Jesus' words about worry are deeply rooted in an understanding of God, whose good and gracious will is always to care for us in the midst of our real lives. So perhaps Jesus isn't so much the don't worry, be happy guy, but more of the don't worry, be trusting. It's not just about letting go, but letting God. I would like to ask you a question. How many of you have spent some time in the past week worrying about something? About something, right? Yeah, you know, worry is something we struggle with. It's a natural part of our lives. And at times, we've all done it one time or another, sometimes more than others. As a mother, I admit that I worry about my children. As a pastor, I worry about my church and about our various ministries and people in the life of the church and events. I have even worried about what I was going to preach on Sunday or in our busy work, how I was even going to get a sermon done. We can worry about so many different things. Our finances, our job, our health, our parents, our children, our friends. And if we allow worry to take root, it can get in the way of us living into the fresh start that God offers us. And worrying is such a difficult thing that we face as human beings that it made it on the list of things that Jesus addressed in the Sermon on the Mount. Of all the things that he could have taught about there, this was one of them. In fact, the word is mentioned 6 times just in the short passage that we read today. Let's take a look at some of the wisdom for us this morning as we wrestle with worry in our lives. So one of the first, you know, we know Jesus helps teach by questioning, right? And so one of the first questions he asks is not your life worth more than food and your body more than clothing? Is that life more than the things that we worry about? You know, I recently read that a dense fog that covers a 7-city block area, 1 foot deep, is composed of no less than 1 glass of water. But that water is divided into millions of tiny drops that can create so much gloom that it can cripple a city. You know, worry and anxiety are like that. You know, just a small amount can settle on us like a great cloud of gloom, and can keep us from enjoying the life that we have been given. the fog of worry tends to blind us, and we miss out on all the blessings that God gives us each and every day. From Lamentations 3, we read this morning that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. So each and every day, God is bringing new life and new possibilities in our lives. However, when we worry, our vision is clouded, and we fail to see and to receive all that God has to offer us. Is not life more? Further, are we not more? It just tells us that we are more than a body to be fed and clothes to be worn. Are we not more than anything we can worry about? There's a song that I like by 10th Avenue North, and the chorus goes, "But don't you know who you are, what's been done for you? Yet don't you know who you are? You are more than the choices that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade." You know, we are so much more than anything that we could worry about. Whether it's our past mistakes, our present problems, our future fears, we are more. And there's times when we allow that to take, you know, that worry to take root, we need to remember that we are claimed and we are loved. We are more, and that life is more. And we can let worry place a fog over us that prevents us from fully being the people that God created us to be and living to those blessings that God creates for us. So Jesus asks another question. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? Kevin Ramsell, a customer service agent at Detroit Metro Airport, tells of an encountering a frantic customer who was really worried because she left something on an airplane. And so in the conversation, he found out this was a book, and she was panicked about this. And Ramsell, you know, finally said, you know, just tell me the title of the book. And the woman blurted out the title, and it was the best-selling book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. You know, it's been estimated that 40% of the things that we worry about never happen. 40%. Never 30% of the things that we worry about we can't change. You know, worry has been likened to a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. And the word worry is actually derived from an old Anglo-Saxon word that means to strangle or choke. It's interesting, isn't it, that the word itself holds within it the meaning of what it does in our lives. As it chokes and strangles us. You know, worry is not just a fruitless endeavor, but it has negative effects for our health and our relationships. Over 40% of all adults suffer health effects due to worry and stress. Worry has been linked to many illnesses, as we know. Heart disease and cancer, and worry affects our relationship with our friends and our family. And it further intrudes on our relationship with God. François Fillon, the 17th century French bishop, said, "Don't worry about the future. Worry quenches the worry of God, the work of God within you. The future belongs to God." And so we need to let go of our worries and turn them over to God. Comedian Carl Hurley tells us that the story of trying to throw away a trash can. He says, "The one thing you can't get the garbage collectors to pick up." He said, "I set out an old rusty garbage can on the street one morning thinking the garbage men would understand that it was needed to be thrown away. He said, when I came back, it was neatly stacked with all the other empty trash cans." He goes on to say, "Well, the next week I put it out again, and I turned it upside down so that they could see that the bottom was rusted out and had several holes in it. And again, when he came home, he said it was stacked neatly with the other cans. He said, the next week I took a sledgehammer to it and beat it out of shape, and so they could clearly tell that it needed to be thrown away. And when he came back, he said not only was it stacked neatly, but the garbage man, trying to be nice, had actually took it and tried to straighten it back out for him. And so he said that he did the only thing that he could. He said, I went to the hardware store and brought a heavy-duty chain and a padlock, and I chained the old can to a large tree in my front yard. He said, sure enough, the night someone stole it." You know, worries like that trash can, you know, we know we need to get rid of it, but it's not so easy to accomplish, is it? We have this tendency, like Heather did in our dramatic reading this morning, of taking back our worry. We try to hold on to wheat. We try to give it over, but we still kind of constantly take it back. And so Jesus reminds us that we need to let go of our worry and truly turn it over to God. And he raises our sights above our worry and anxiety to faith and trust in our Heavenly Father. Jesus takes us to the source from which all help and blessings come. Jesus tells us to look to the birds of the air and consider the lilies of the field. In times we find ourselves worrying, we need to stop and look around at all that God is doing in the world. The little things that we often consider insignificant, like the wildflowers and the birds, God cares for them. God cares for all creation. And so we stop and we look at how God cares for creation. We're reminded of God's faithfulness in the world and to us. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more than they? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, all his glory, is not arrayed like one of these. But if God clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not more clothe you? And so do we trust God to provide for our daily needs? As we stop and look at the birds and the lilies and how God provides for them, do we believe that God will take care of us? What helps me when I begin to worry is to change my focus from all my worry, on my problems, to focus on God's faithfulness. I see it all around me. I remember the times when I've experienced God's faithfulness in the past. I draw strength from stories of others that I know about God's provision in their lives. I look around and try to open my eyes to see the blessings that God is providing in my life today. Next, Jesus says that our Heavenly Father knows that we need these things. He knows that we need them. Because we have a loving God that already knows what we need. And so often we think that we're out there on our own, and we forget that God is watching over us and taking care of us and providing for our needs. And so our call to not worry is not so much a slogan or a soundbite, it's a call to turn toward Him in faith. My husband Robert is from Northern Ireland, and after we got engaged, we went to inquire about the visa process. I met him when I was in Ireland. And we were told it would take no more than 2 months. They said, if you allow 2 months, you are good. You'd be good. And so, but after applying, some of the regulations changed due to September 11th. And while we left 6 months, instead of the two they told us to, we then told it was taking now more like 8 to 12 months. And there was no way that it was going to happen. The wedding had been set now for 2 years, and so Robert was not allowed to enter the country now under another visa. Once he had applied for the one visa, he couldn't come in under a different visa. And so he would not be able to come for the wedding if his visa did not come through. And so there wouldn't be a wedding, right? And yet 24 of his friends and relatives had already purchased tickets and made plans to come for the wedding. If we got married at all, anywhere, the visa process would start over. And a spouse's visa at that time was taking upward of 2 years or more. And so it was looking like we were either going to have to cancel the wedding, we're going to have to start our marriage by living separately, or I was going to have to quit my seminary program and move to Ireland. For days, I was sick with worry. I went to bed worrying, woke up worrying. And while I had been praying about it, I hadn't released it into God's hands. Until several of my friends gathered around me and helped me to truly turn the whole situation over to God in prayer and to leave it in His hands. Nothing had changed externally in that moment, but I felt a sense of peace. I knew that no matter what happened, God would guide us through. I felt the support of and prayers of friends and family and later learned that several of them felt compelled to make calls and reach out to contacts that they had to try to expedite the process. And Robert actually got his visa 10 days before the scheduled wedding and was able to come in the country. And so those moments when we start to worry, when we feel like we're overwhelmed by the problems of life and obstacles we face, it's a time to remember that we have a God that truly knows what we need. And as we turn those concerns over to God in prayer, to let go of them and to let God. And we are strengthened and we gain perspective in those moments when we do. In the movie Apollo 13, Jim Lovell, played by Tom Hanks, is looking out to Earth from space. And as he stares at the planet, which now seems so small, he lifts up his thumb until the entire Earth is blocked out. The Earth, which seemed so large before, was now so small that he could hardly see it. This is, in effect, what we do with our worries and the fears that we have when we lift the thumb of faith and place it over our fear. When we focus on God, and in so doing, the problem that once seemed so large can become smaller and almost insignificant. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus tells us to not worry because there are more important things that need our attention, that we need to be focusing on the kingdom of God. Have any of you ever watched any extreme skiing before? Well, it's kind of crazy to watch this. These skiers go down these peaks and treacherous mountains and scaling cliffs, and they go in and out of trees, and it's a dangerous sport, and many have been seriously injured or even killed in their attempts to do it. But in one magazine article about the sport, it highlights one of the favorite things to do in the sport is to run through a line of trees in fresh, deep snow. And the author, you know, said, what you focus on, your eyes on, becomes critical in the woods. Look at the spaces between the trees, the exits where you hope to be traveling. The secret is to not stare at what you don't want to hit. The extreme skier who focuses on the trees is more likely to hit the trees, but the one who is looking for the spaces or the exits between the trees is going to miss the obstacles. But it's hard not to look at the trees because you're so afraid of crashing into them. See, Jesus is telling us to seek first the kingdom of God because he's giving us what we need to be focused on. Don't stare at what you don't want to hit, the obstacles. You see, when we worry, we focus on our fears. We are putting our focus into the things that we don't want to crash into. But if we focus on those open places between them, where God is moving and working in the world and how God is calling us to work for the kingdom of God, we're able to go soaring through. And God leads us to those open places. So we seek first the kingdom of God. You know, in essence here, Jesus is saying, be about God's business and let me be about your business. Sometimes we're not able to see how God is working in our lives until we are able to get out from that cloud of worry and our intense focus on our lives and turn our focus toward God and what God is doing. I've heard over and over again as people have, you know, been serving in different ways in the life of the church and on different committees and different areas, on mission trips or working with children or youth, you know, how they just serve, how their eyes are open to what God is doing in their lives, in their lives, because of what they do as they focus on God. So it brings us to our final assignment as we look at our fresh starts, that we is to let go and let God. To let go and let God. Jesus invites us to do what we need to do each day, to leave the results in God's hands. To accept each day as a fresh start from God's hands, and to let God worry about tomorrow. And I found in those moments when we can let go and let God that my eyes are open to the incredible power of God sustaining me, strengthening me, and guiding me. We're called to trust in God's promises, to stop worrying, to see each breath, each heartbeat, each beautiful sight or sound as God's gift to us. And no matter what obstacles we face, God's mercies are new every morning. The fresh starts continue to be offered to offer new life and new hope. And so I invite you now to take out your cards. And prayerfully, I want you to write down, you know, what is it that you need to turn over to God? What do you need to let go of and to place into His loving and caring arms? And to trust that He's got this. Trust that He's got this. And so I invite you to bring them forward as Don's going to play some music. And I invite you to bring them forward. Just place them on the altar rails. You may kneel for a moment if you would like to pray as you give your worries and lay them down to God. Come to the table where we receive God's mercy.